So I would like to pray for Cheryl today. Would you bow with me, please? Lord, we are so thankful for the beginning of a new year and another opportunity, Lord, to come into your presence, to hear your word. And we just thank you for Cheryl, who has studied very hard to prepare for us today. Lord, I ask that you guide and direct her words, give her clarity of thought and speech, Lord. And for us listening, Lord, open our hearts and open our ears to hear what you would have us learn today about you as a good shepherd. And Lord, we celebrate that goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives when we have a relationship with you. Lord, we give you all the praise. In your precious name I pray. Amen.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
No.
You want me to keep talking?
Yeah.
Okay. Happy New Year. You know, I don't know about you, but every year as it comes to the Christmas season, there's something new. You know, there's something that hits me in a new way, that a new understanding. And this year, as I reflected on Christ's coming, I was really struck by the enmity that was his, even as a baby, right? Jesus' presence in the world brought fear to a powerful king. And even as he hung on the cross, the debate continued about what his real identity was. In chapter 9, as Robin took us to look at the healing of the blind man, the response in was some of these Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." Well, the opposition continues in chapter 10, verses 19 and 20. There was again a division among the Jews because of these words. Many of them said, "He's a demon and is insane. Why listen to him?" Let's look together at Jesus' response as he tells us who he is. He is the Good Shepherd. This figurative language invites us to his love for us and provides his own invitation into a more intimate relationship with him. His response to the reviling, the persecution, the false accusations is found in verse 11. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. It's my hope this morning that we might know that Jesus is not only our Good Shepherd, but that we might say with David, "The Lord is my shepherd." Now, I rejoice in Jesus as my shepherd. But with that statement comes an underlying truth that isn't always easy to think about. We are sheep. Yeah, in need of a shepherd. I couldn't help but wonder, do we really believe that we are in need of a shepherd? Do we see ourselves as sheep who are vulnerable to follow after another? Oh yeah, and even another after that. I don't often, excuse me, see my own need. Our world, with its doctrines of individualism, self-sufficiency, enhanced by our pride, encourage us to seek, even demand, freedoms, independence, and control, ingeniously deceiving us about our real needs. In our pursuits of these things, we follow after another. In Ezekiel 34, our condition is made clear. We are scattered. We are lost. We are vulnerable to enemies without the protection of a shepherd. John Piper helps us examine ourselves further. We are scattered as we seek security in our performance, our wealth, our position or power. We are scattered by our busyness and our pursuit of pleasures, following the winds and waves of popular opinion and maybe even doctrine. We are often lost as we try to meet the ever-changing demands of our world. In one setting, we find ourselves honored, and in another, considered a total failure. We are vulnerable to doubts and fears, even being deceived by those who purpose to lead us astray or take from us. This idea of enemies and bad shepherds, aka thieves and robbers, is one that I've personally been naive about. And I've often instead found reasons to justify my friendships with the world and its ways. Jesus warns us of the thieves and robbers in verse 10 that threaten us. He identifies clearly their intent is to kill and to destroy. In other words, don't fool yourself. They are harmful to us and to the body of Christ, his bride. Who are they? Specifically, in this passage, the unfaithful shepherds of Israel are being called out. Bruce Milne draws us to Ezekiel 34 as a help in identifying areas that define their poor care for the flock. They think of themselves first. They ignore the needs of the needy. They do not pursue the lost. They are hard-hearted rulers. They leave the flock scattered and vulnerable. These characteristics we sadly find in other places, don't we? So how can we be protected in our exposed condition? Jesus gives us the answer. We must know his voice. Jesus tells us in verses 4 and 5, his sheep know his voice and follow him, and even that they will not follow another. My husband reminded me of the training that federal agents receive in learning to spot a counterfeit bill. They study the real bill. They learn its every detail, the feel of the cotton-linen blend and how crisp it is and how it ages with wear. The security thread, the color shifting inks, the watermarks, etc. And when the agents are completely familiar with the real currency, a counterfeit is easily detected. His sheep know his voice and follow him. They will not follow after another. As we get to know our shepherd, we begin to understand the riches of his love for us. Jesus, our good shepherd, knows us. He knows our needy condition, and he sets his love on us as he has known and knows the Father's love for him and for us. He enters the gate to pursue, to provide, and to protect us. He shepherds us out of love for us. In verse 10, his intent is revealed. I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. In Psalm 23, we see the good shepherd actively cares for the sheep. David Gibson directs us to the simple truth that he is the subject in each phrase, and it is clearly all the shepherd's work. He makes me lie down in green pastures where there is food. He leads me beside still waters where my thirst is satisfied. All my needs are met, so there's no lack or need to go looking elsewhere. He restores my soul with deep rest in this wearisome world. He leads me in paths of righteousness. Why? For his name's sake, he loves us and it delights him to care for us. He knows his sheep. Verses 14 and 15 tell us he knows his sheep as he knows the Father, and the Father knows him. He calls us by name. We are known completely, our ways, our needs, our desires, and our weaknesses are embraced in their perfect love for us. A love that is complete without us simply envelops us. His loving care meets our every need. This is how it feels to be shepherded by the Good Shepherd who makes, leads, restores, and knows us. Selah, pause and think calmly about this God and his provision. The shepherd carries a rod and staff, and they comfort me. Why? Because it's him who is handling them, right? Ralph Davis describes him this way: Jesus Christ, our shepherd, is no emaciated weakling. Our shepherd is a warrior, as a shepherd had to be. No one can snatch his sheep out of his hand. The muscles of his arm are flexed to defend his flock. He doesn't carry a club for nothing. He is obviously enough for whatever the valley throws at us. We are safe in his arms. That's good news. There are enemies and there are valleys, but we are not alone. And he is a good shepherd who is equipped to defend us and deliver us. He leads us in paths of righteousness that go into and through valleys. But he will go with us. Deuteronomy 31:8 says, "It is the Lord who goes before you. He will march with you. He will not fail you or let you go. Fear not, neither become broken in spirit or dismayed." And here we find another important provision of the Good Shepherd. He will not fail us, and he will not let go of us. The valleys in this life are dark places. When we're in them, it's tempting to look for a way of comfort or escape that can lead us into further darkness. We can get lost. In these times, I've sought my own way of comfort. Sometimes self-righteousness, anger, feeding a position as a victim. I've sought escape in busyness and good works, distracting me from the peace and the joy of my shepherd's care. Can I ask you to consider, where do you seek comfort and escape in hard times? Even as I've sought my own way, I have known the mercy and the faithfulness of the Good Shepherd to seek me, to find me, to restore me, and to lead me toward himself. He bandages us when we've been hurt. He restores what has been taken from us, and he leads us in paths of righteousness. This is our sure hope and his promise. I wait with many of you for loved ones to be restored. We do not hope in their ability to navigate the valley, but in the Good Shepherd who came to rescue each of us and each of them and give a life abundant. Ezekiel 34, 16 says, I will seek that which was lost and bring back that which has strayed. I will bandage the hurt and the crippled and will strengthen the weak and the sick. Jesus shares the parable of the lost in Luke 15. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost just one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? David Gibson reminds us, the rod in Jesus' hand brings strength to the failing heart, and because he will lead us through the valley, and on the other side, we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. God's vision is for a new flock, united by one shepherd's sacrifice, given in love. How is this accomplished? Jesus, the Good Shepherd, will lay down his life for us. He gives us a clear understanding of his purposes in John 10:14 and John 17:24. Bear with me. This is like drinking out of a fire hose, this next bit. You don't want to miss any of it. It's all good, but God loves Jesus before the foundation of the world. And Jesus delights in the Father's love for us. And so he willingly lays down his life for us. The Father loves the Son. The Father loves us. The Son loves the Father. And the Son loves us. And the Father loves the Son for loving the ones he loves. Our Good Shepherd is motivated and acts out of love for his Father and their love for us. How will he lay down his life? He will do it according to the authority and the provision of the Father. No one will take it from him, verse 18. Not Judas' betrayal. Not the mob's overwhelming numbers, not the Roman soldiers' force or authority, not Pilate's power, not the high priest's laws. No one will take his life from him. He will lay it down as it has been planned from the beginning because he loves us. But he's not finished. Sheep without a shepherd are in trouble, remember? He tells us he will take it up again. He will conquer the enemy of the flock for all eternity. He will provide us with freedom from eternal death through his love. His spirit is given to us so that we will know his comfort, his security and his care, and be able to say with David, the Lord is my shepherd. Would you pray with me? I'm going to use a prayer by Scotty Smith that really encouraged me. So would you pray this prayer with me? Lord, today we worship you, Jesus, for being the shepherd savior that you are. Laying down your life as the Lamb of God, you've risen and are now the standing shepherd, relentlessly caring, vigilantly protecting, and faithfully providing for us. You never slumber or sleep. You are constantly caring for us. Be praised and worshiped, O good and engaged shepherd. Jesus, because of your great love for me in the gospel, I lack nothing that I need. I don't get all my wants, but I do have everything I need for life and godliness and a whole lot more. I praise you, it's green pastures and quiet waters to which you lead me, for the restoring of my tired, weary, and rebellious soul. For your glory and my good, you guide me along the paths of righteousness, goodness, truth, and grace. And even as that journey involves traversing places marked by decay and death, you are with me. And that's really all I need to know. I don't have to be afraid of anything or anyone if you are with me. You nourish me all the time, even when my enemies are close by and threatening. Your generous anointing overflows for the blessing of others. Even in the new heaven and earth, you will be our shepherd, leading us to springs of living waters. In your great and gracious name we pray. Amen.